Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Most of you probably know my guest today. You know, I'm always saying, where are all the lawyers standing for freedom? And I often bring up his name and his work, and I'm honored to have Robert Barnes on the show today. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. You are very, very successful out there, and you've been on the front lines. You have Viva Barnes Law Show that everyone loves and watches, but you guys are on top of everything, and I'd seen you for weeks, maybe months, kind of calling out all these different persecution cases against Trump and really where they were all coming from and kind of predicting that what happened yesterday would happen. So now 9-0, they cannot kick Trump off the ballot in Colorado. Your thoughts on that and Jamie Raskin and the crowd and the crew saying they're not done. They're going to keep going.
It was always an absurd argument. It required multiple levels of legal inanity in order to get there. And so that was the core problem from a legal perspective. It was constitutionally baseless to make the claim that they could apply the 14th Amendment in this manner. The second problem was a political one, which is the one they also ran into at the Supreme Court, which is the Supreme Court doesn't want to be perceived as any aspect of the judicial branch or otherwise undermining people's opportunity to vote for whom they want for president. That they don't want to be seen as the same thing that kept them out of 2020 was going to keep Trump on the ballot in 2024. They don't want to be perceived as tipping the scales of intervening and being involved. And they want to protect at least the appearance of the impartiality of the judiciary and of them being philosopher kings above partisan politics. And as such, that was why I thought both legally and politically, they never had any chance once the Supreme Court took the case. And especially when Democrats themselves were split, about half of Democratic officials rejected these efforts. Half of them went along with it. That was a sign that if you don't even have consensus within the Democratic side of the aisle, then you have to be a Trump hater, basically, to completely butcher the law. And that's why we predicted all along that as soon as the Supreme Court took the case, they were going to reject it. After oral argument, there was no doubt it was going to be unanimous. The only question was how they would go about it. And credit to the majority that made sure that it could not become an issue later on. They're like, look, you've got to pass implementing legislation. You've got to do it before an election, not afterwards. We're not going to have a situation where the American people elect somebody president and Congress goes in and takes it away from them. And so on a very novel interpretation of a clause that doesn't even apply to the president.
Well, that's the most important word there, novel, because when I'm looking through all these Trump persecutions, and of course, they all link back somehow to the Crossfire Hurricane Mueller report team still, which is shocking and amazing to me that they're above the line putting down these things. But we also have the Trump documents case coming up where they're using all of these. It's a similar situation. They're using novel theories that really don't apply to Trump. And I believe that still at this point, they aren't even saying what documents are even considered to be national security threats. And that whole case seems completely novel, to say the least. What are your thoughts on that case that's coming down the pike? They're really trying to push the Florida judge forward, and she's kind of standing by the law and due process, but that's upsetting them, it seems.
No doubt. I think that, you know, in that case, they chose to try to make it look like they were being impartial by bringing the indictment in Florida. It got assigned to Judge Cannon, who had previously been assigned the grand jury aspects of the case and the search warrant aspects of the case. And she's a Trump appointee and had shown willingness to push back against the government's wayward prosecutions in these cases. All of the cases are novel. The New York criminal case, novel, unprecedented, unparalleled. The New York civil case, unprecedented, unparalleled. The fake rape case, unprecedented, unparalleled. The Georgia RICO case, unprecedented, unparalleled. The DC case, unprecedented, unparalleled. Not just in going after a president, but that the legal and factual means they're doing so has never been done to anybody before in each of these cases. And the lawfare has been badly exposed. That's the other thing the Supreme Court is paying attention to. They see that the American people are reacting very negatively to these indictments and to these lawfares and to these bankruptcy efforts, and that Trump's numbers just keep going up and up and up. And yep. In that context, they're recognizing that the judiciary is increasingly itself on trial. And that is why the one way they can completely clean the slate of all these insane cases, all but the civil New York case, is by granting presidential immunity. Because immunity touches all of them. All of them concern acts done while the president was the president and acting in that official capacity, including the classified documents Florida case. So yeah. The easy way for them to pull the judiciary out of being perceived as interfering in an election with these wayward rogue partisan cases is to just say the president has immunity. The only way you can criminally prosecute him for anything he did while president is if he is successfully impeached and convicted, because that's the mechanism the Constitution provides for a truly wayward president. And I think they're going to do that. And the yesterday's decision or Monday's decision that said that five justices coming up with a way to prevent that from ever becoming an issue, either in Congress or the states in terms of ballot access or being elected to the White House, is an indicator that they're going to get at least a five justice majority to put an end to all the criminal cases by saying he's immune. And if you think until and unless he's successfully impeached and convicted, because otherwise the president can be basically extorted by a random prosecutor anywhere in the country while he's president. You know, you do what I want on some policy issue or I'll indict you as soon as you leave the White House. That's not a sustainable constitutional system.
No, and the worst part is that these people don't care. But when I've been covering this for, you know, a few years now, what I do see, though, is that there's I call it in the fifth column, but there's a hand above the government that is actually, I believe, writing these novel cases. And these are the same people that have been after Trump now for almost 8 years. And when you see that Weissman and Eisen wrote a whole memo for the Georgia case before the indictments were even out and all of this, I think that this leads back to something maybe even bigger that's a real deep foundational problem, because we can look back and we can see that some of the news that came out recently, you and I both knew it for a long time. You've covered it. I've covered it about the pre-crossfire hurricane doings of the Obama team overseas, creating the idea that there was Russian collusion, then the crossfire hurricane, then the Mueller report, then the Durham and the Horowitz and all of that. And what really happened here, I think, is that none of these people were ever even looked at. They were never held accountable. And then you'd see, like, when Mueller Weissman was on the stand, he's like, well, we weren't allowed to look into the origins of Crossfire Hurricane. Then Durham says, well, I wasn't allowed to look into the Mueller team or what they were doing. So it appears that these people that are still running this Trump persecution thing, McCord, I mean, people know their names, that they just keep going because there's never any accountability within the Department of Justice, within the government. Everything is always like, let's look at the people outside, but the people inside are really the problem.
Yeah, there was a recent documentary on Netflix about the so-called octopus murders and octopus conspiracy. And really what they're describing is what Peter Dale Scott described in the late 1960s, which is originally described by an economist publisher in the late 19th century in the UK, which is what happens when you have governing officials that are not elected by the people and that are not subject to any meaningful check. And they called it the dual state at the time. And it was how German political scientists later described the rise of fascism in both Germany and Italy, how that was even possible, is that you have this administrative state, this unelected bureaucracy that is able to weaponize an increasingly powerful governmental institutions for their own benefit, regardless of what the people want in elections. And when you apply this dual state to the national security apparatus, the intelligence community, the highest ranking of law enforcement apparatus at the FBI and the Justice Department, you have what Peter Dale Scott, 1969, described as a deep state. That phraseology has become more popular and colloquialized in the last decade or so because that's what we're witnessing. Right. It's what Vladimir Putin described in his interview with Tucker Carlson and others. He goes, I've been dealing with America for a quarter century, and none of your presidents matter. They're just puppets. He goes, the men in gray suits run your country, and they run your policy. And that's why I can't trust anybody who's actually elected president, because his opinion isn't going to matter. It's not going to bind. And Trump was the first meaningful threat to deep state institutional control since John F. Kennedy.
Right.
We kind of went off the rails when this deep state really got institutional influence after World War II. Right. Harry Truman said his signing of the National Security Act of 1947 was the biggest mistake he ever made as president, because it brought in the Central Intelligence Agency. It brought in the National Security Agency. And other than facing a little blowback post Watergate with the Church Committee and a little bit of restraint by Jimmy Carter at times, they've otherwise had carte blanche control. And Trump presents an imminent risk, an exigent risk, an existential risk to them. And that's why they, you know, did Russiagate the first time and conspired against him during the 2016 campaign, then used Mueller, who's been one of a big deep state ally going way back, to basically derail the Trump presidency, led to Ukraine Gate. That was a deep state effort. Led to January 6th and the 2020 election that had deep state fingerprints all over it. And they've been obsessed with preventing his return to the White House ever since. And there's no question Alvin Bragg isn't brainstorming these theories.
Right.
Letitia James isn't brainstorming these theories. Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade are not brainstorming these theories. Jack Smith, who's not even a properly appointed Justice Department official, is not brainstorming these theories. He came from the International Criminal Court up at The Hague, where he was covering up wide range criminal conspiracies on behalf of the deep state. It is an alignment of deep state people inside and outside the government that have coordinated this lawfare against the president. And it's not only legally baseless, it's politically perilous for the future of the country.
Yeah, I agree. And they don't seem to care. And a lot of them, in my opinion, if I look back at 2016, 2017, through the election, through the Transition Integrity Project, a lot of these people are guilty of the crimes that they're saying Trump is guilty of. And some would even say sedition, treason, you know, conspiracy to a duly elected sitting president, which is another thing that I wanted to ask you, because I was thinking about it recently. You know, they're trying to continue this 702 warrantless surveillance situation. And then suddenly, like, I guess they walked away from debating it, well, out of nowhere. And the reason that bothers me is, A, I think that the Patriot Act created a lot of this fourth branch, this intelligence branch of the government that seems to be kind of the threat to all the whole thing as it is. But then the 702, the warrantless surveillance, is how they went after, I think, Carter Page, and how they ended up spying on everyone because they could have like hops from Carter Page to other people, which could get to Trump, and then everyone surrounding Trump. And then they continued that after he was in office, which is when I think it became a true crime. But continuing that again, when Trump is the nominee, as I believe he will be, it's going to be the same exact thing. Then if they continue that, it's the same people controlling the 702 warrantless surveillance that did it the first time. And then that'll just happen again. And if that does happen again, then it'll go into the next administration. So I think people have to understand the 702 situation is a big deal. And what happened to that? They were talking about it for 2 days and then it was gone.
Well, it was being proposed at the same time they wanted a huge slush fund for Ukraine and continue that money laundering operation. And when they ran into hurdles in the House and the Senate, thanks to the efforts of people like Senator Vance in the Senate, Senator Rand Paul in the Senate, the Congressman Massey in the House of Representatives and others, they were not getting the support that they needed. And so they pulled back, and that's when all of a sudden they were talking about space nukes and from Russia. And then all of a sudden Navalny somehow dies in Russian custody on the eve of being released by the Russians, all of which they blame on Russia. And there's this escalating talk, and essentially they're trying to figure out what fear tactic can they use to be able to coerce the House and the Senate to approve something that the American people don't want.
Right.
The Patriot Act was always a mistake, extending and expanding the power of these deep state tools at the counterintelligence unit in the FBI and the seventh floor of the FBI, at the same units in the Justice Department, at the same units that have their corollaries in the various intelligence and defense apparatus. That those need to be completely, there needs to be a defunding of the police, just not the ordinary police. We need to defund the deep state. And part of that needs to be taking apart the District of Columbia. Mike Davis, who does the Article 3 project, has also said the same thing, that the District of Columbia needs to not exist even as a legal system. The swamp cannot be allowed to defend and judge the swamp. And that's what it is currently. And that's where these institutional reforms need to happen. And yeah. we're starting to see momentum, even in Congress, because of the public demand for action. But we probably need to see, you know, Trump put some more, you know, teeth on the bones. You know, you need to be able to really flesh out what those policies and personnel changes are going to be so this doesn't happen all over again.
Right. And that's what they're setting up. And you know what? I think that this group, like my fifth column, I call them, because a lot of this stuff, you know, if you go on Brookings or you go on any Weissman's new thing, Just Security, or any of the many, many eyes in places like Crew and everywhere else, they're very open about what they're doing. They're not hiding it. And they have pride. I mean, they give Weissman a TV show on what I call Intel TV, MSNBC, to discuss it every night with Mary McCord, his partner in crime. And then all of a sudden, and this is why it's important, I hope that you have a direct line to Trump, because he does need to talk to people now. Because Mary McCord 2 weeks ago, who, if people don't know her, she's, I would say, the three musketeers of the Get Trump, you know, circus would be Weissman, Eisen, and McCord. McCord did an interview with NBC News where she said that they were already getting together. It sounds like the Transition Integrity Project to me, that they were already getting together and looking at all the ways that if Trump possibly wins, they would hit him with lawsuits right away, that they were already looking at. They're probably using AI or whatever, or spying, or the 702s they're using right now to figure out what he would actually be doing to what you're saying, to kind of dismantle, to start to take down this deep state, unconstitutional fourth branch, whatever. But she's saying it to publicly. This is the weird thing about these people right now. I guess it's panic, or maybe, but they're putting it right in our faces. And she's saying, well, we already are creating lawfare, basically, to make sure that Trump can't get anything done. We're looking at what policies he might do, this and that. So to me, this should be criminal. But again, shouldn't they be? I don't know if you know that they are or whatever. I certainly hope that they're preparing on the Trump side, or it's not even the Trump side, the America side, as far as I'm concerned, for that to happen again, because they're planning it and they're telling us.
There's no doubt about it. And the one concern with Trump is that has a rhetorical commitment to making changes, but that needs to really flesh out into both personnel and policy changes. Right. Whether it's taking away the power of the District of Columbia, the District of Corruption, right, to have any judicial authority whatsoever, reinvigorating a venue authority so that people are only tried in actually the place where they're a resident, so that you can't conveniently weaponize New York or Atlanta or liberal jurisdictions in blue cities or blue states to go after their political opponents and adversaries. Reinvigorating the First Amendment against selective prosecution in politically motivated cases, which may require implementing legislation and personnel changes as well. You know, Pompeo can't be on that list. Lindsey Graham can't be on that list. Right. A lot of people you had the first time around can't be on that list. And there are specific examples where he can illustrate his understanding and commitment to, you know, commit to supporting some of the leading opponents or targets of the deep state. Here, to his credit, Robert Kennedy has been way ahead of the curve on these issues. Robert Kennedy talks about pardoning Julian Assange on day one. Pardoning Ed Snowden on day one, dismantling deep state power on day one, changing all the top personnel at every single meaningful agency on day one, issuing executive order changes that change how those policies work top to bottom on day one, supporting Brooke Jackson and the case against the COVID vaccines and Pfizer in the QI-tam cases pending in Beaumont, Texas. That is the key to any kind of relief or remedy for anybody that's been injured by the vaccine. Right. And support cases like Amos Miller, the Amish farmer in Lancaster County, who they're trying to bankrupt to take away food freedom in America.
Yeah, let's talk about Trump that case. I want to get into that case, too. Yeah. But what you're saying is so important. I just, you know, and I see Kennedy doing that. And the other thing that he's doing is also talking about, obviously, his whole life has been shadowed by the CIA and what happened to both his father and his uncle and many other people down the line. I always say the coup against America started in 1963, and it's been one cover up after another since. And that is another place. And I do agree with you. There should be a much more aggressive stance on that, on the Trump front, too, on dismantling it. Now, also, people are leery that that can be done. Remember, Trump was talking about Schedule F, and again, making it easier to fire people. There's just so much that can be done. And the one thing is also that a lot of these agencies are unconstitutional to begin with. So I want to also ask, so you were the one person I saw out there. I know you're working with the Amish case, and a lot of people don't know about it, and it's much bigger than people think. So can you just tell my audience a little bit about that case and what happened there and who was involved? Hi, guys. Thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always telling you to be prepared and expect the unexpected. Well, the Wellness Company has great medical emergency kits to make sure you can do just that. In a world where supply chain vulnerabilities threaten our access to life-saving medication, I highly recommend you get a Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit. With 8 essential medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin, you can be prepared for any medical emergency that comes your way. They have a medical emergency kit, a contagion kit, an emergency travel kit, and a first aid emergency kit. To support your own health and support the Mel Kay Show, please go to twc.health/MelKay now and use code MelKay for big savings at checkout. Don't wait until it's too late. Take back control of your health today with the Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit. Because when it comes to your family's well-being, preparedness is key. The Wellness Company, empowering you to face the unexpected with confidence.
So Amos Miller is a fifth-generation Amish farmer from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, the heart of Amish country, the heart of dairy farming in America, one of the founding areas of our republic. There's all kinds of dedications to our revolutionary heroes throughout the county. The Amish came to Lancaster County because the Quaker founders of Pennsylvania promised them protection from harassment due to their unique religious beliefs. They don't engage in big tech. They don't engage in big pharma. They don't engage in the big educational system. They basically homeschool their kids in their own schools through eighth grade. And then they focus on practical education thereafter and actual farming, actual carpentry, actual useful work, you might say. They're not part of the media world or any of that. And so what they are is a test group, a control group. That if you want to see a world free of Bill Gates' dream world, a world free of big tech, free of big pharma, and free of big food, because they grow their own products in an organic way, they avoid pesticides, they avoid additives, they avoid preservatives, they avoid chemicals, they don't do it in a corporatized, industrialized, mechanized way. They do it the same way their fathers, their grandfathers, and their great-grandfathers did it. You know, they have grass-fed cows out in the pasture with real milk. Their chickens can still run around on a free range. Their pigs are well located. They develop and create. They use certain things like stainless steel, dairy equipment, things like that that are modernized. But otherwise, it's done all the traditional way. Well, what we've seen over the past half century, since the big regulatory agencies have taken over big food, same with the influence of big pharma and big tech, is the declining health of Americans. As Robert Kennedy talks about, there's been an explosion of chronic disease in America. Our life expectancies are now all of a sudden starting to reverse and shorten. People are unhappier than they have ever been by a wide range of objective metrics. Just the pharmacological use is one example or illustration of that. So you have people unhappier and unhealthier than maybe ever before, at least in the modern era. But there's one group that's just the opposite is happening, and that is the Amish. Yeah. They are happier, healthier, live longer than the rest of Americans, and their health keeps getting better. They don't have an explosion of cancer. They don't have a dramatic rise in autism. They don't have these major increases in chronic diseases affecting everybody around them. Right. And so more and more people say, I want to benefit from that Amish lifestyle. And the number one thing they do differently is their diet. And so about 20 years ago, people came to Amos Miller through the Weston A. Price Foundation and other events like that and said, we'd really like to have access to your food because the Amish are clearly doing something right. And his word of mouth was extraordinary because I've eaten at some of the greatest restaurants, well, the greatest restaurants in the entire world, from Tokyo to Paris to London to New York to San Francisco to New Orleans. And the greatest meal I have ever had by a long mile is at the dinner table of Amos Miller, wow, the Amish farmer in Lancaster. So his food is exceptional. For many people, it's medically necessary. There are certain ways that he makes food in an organic way, a natural way, not pasteurized, not ultra pasteurized, not lots of chemicals and additives and corporate components that are no longer even available anywhere in the country. So there's people with kids, with children with unique medical conditions. They themselves have unique medical conditions. And the only thing that has ever worked for them is Amos Miller's products. So because he is the sort of perfect counterexample to the Bill Gates dream world, for the last 5 years, the state and federal government has been illicitly spying on him, selectively raiding him, selectively trying to shut down different parts of his business, various points trying to hold him in contempt of questionable court orders, trying to bankrupt him through fines. And the key agency behind this all along has been the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. They even coordinated the FDA and the USDA efforts against Amos Miller. They actually started and originated by the instigators at the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, who saw him as the ultimate counterexample to their, you know, the PDA's best idea of a great meal is plain food. Right. They think Amish meal, terrible for you. Plain food, perfect for you. That's their mindset. And he is presenting this perfect counterexample. And there are tens of thousands of Americans who over the last 20 years have said Amos Miller's food is fantastic. And its popularity was posing a risk to the corporate captured regulatory state that wants something. It's not a coincidence that if you want to combine big tech, big pharma, and big food, you can actually combine it in one person. And it's Bill Gates. Right. Leader in big tech, trying to buy up AI as we speak. Elon Musk suing him to try to stop that from happening. Right. Also a leader of big pharma, the leader of the COVID vaccine, the leader on the lockdown efforts and everything related to it. And he's been buying up farmland all across the country. And it's not to make real food because he's a leader in fake foods and processed foods, controlled foods, chemical foods. So Amos Miller is like the perfect counterexample to that. Right. And that is why they've gone after him. And we've, you know, been able to successfully push back the feds over the last 2 years to where they've mostly receded from the scene, decided they didn't want to risk losing a high profile case like this. Right. And in steps, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture that got a bogus search warrant, went in and illegally raided his facility, seized a bunch of his food, detained a bunch of his food, then ordered a bunch of his food destroyed. They were rationing. They prohibited him from even making available or even for a while producing his own milk products. They were rationing his food to himself, telling him what he could feed his own family from his own food, from his own farm. They even told him he could not feed his animals, including his pigs, without their advance permission. So it was a pure power grab of extraordinary scale. And that's what's currently being litigated in the court. The court pulled back a little bit on that, but there's still an injunction in place that prohibits him from making his raw milk products available to anybody in the country for sale. He can give it away. He can now build, he can at least now make it, but he's not allowed to sell it. And Pennsylvania is claiming the authority to govern the whole world because this injunction not just applies to Pennsylvania, it applies to the entire country. He's prohibited from selling it in Tennessee. He's prohibited from selling it in North Carolina. So this is a power grab of extraordinary scale. The state wants to monopolize all food. Their fundamental legal contention is, I call Secretary of Agriculture Redding the Pope of food of America, because unless he blesses your food, you're not allowed to eat it or even possess it. And that's their contention. They actually said on the stand, you're not allowed to possess food. You're not allowed to purchase food. You're not allowed to consume food unless we give you permission beforehand.
But do they even have that authority? I mean, I think all these agencies are unconstitutional to begin with, but I can't imagine that they even have that authority. And then again, on top of that, because I do a lot of stuff, I have for years digging into first Agenda 2030, then Agenda 21, now Agenda 2030, and these 17 development goals and this globalist bent. I call them the parent company of planet Earth, these globalists that want to do everything. And it sounds like he's a threat to all of that. Not just to the food, but to the track and trace surveillance and to the, you know, all of the biometric stuff and all of the controlling the food, the land, the education. You know, Pennsylvania, the reason that that sparks in my mind is that I've noticed that Pennsylvania has adopted a lot of UNESCO stuff, a lot of global citizen education, things that are definitely not coming from America. They're coming above America into our country. And Pennsylvania was one of those states that has a lot of that going on there that's really going towards those sustainable development goals, which are, in my opinion, totally anti-nation state, America, sovereignty, all of that. So is there an aspect there that's even bigger, that they're trying to make an example of Amos so that nobody else tries it? Because people all over, normal people, like people I know that would used to think preppers were crazy, now are like the biggest preppers there could be, because people want out of this centralized government control system. They see Mao's China, they see America. It's not that far off at this point. So is this bigger than him?
There's no doubt about that. Henry Kissinger said, control the food,
right?
You control the country. Thomas Jefferson said that there's no greater threat to your soul than having your diet controlled by the state. Thomas Jefferson himself. And that's also why he considered the family farmer the essential foundation of America's constitutional republic. Right. Said, without that, we won't have the self-sufficiency, the independent control of food, the independent ability to sustain oneself and one's neighbors and one's community. That is the foundation against state encroachment and tyranny.
Right.
And so Amos Miller is the example they want to use to take away all food freedom in the country, to control and monopolize the food for all of these other purposes. Because the next set of purposes is to say, well, if we don't like your food for political purposes, we're going to call it a threat to the climate, like is right. That's
exactly
happening with Letitia James,
right?
Already doing that in New York.
Right.
They're challenging the cattle folks because they wanted them to use the food supply to inject vaccines into people without their consent. Congressman Massey is right now trying to fight money to put plant edible vaccines into the system. This is a way that, because the mandates didn't work, and because most people recognize the vaccines were not safe and effective like they were promised,
right,
they now realize that they need to sneak it in to people's systems, and to do that, and all kinds of other control mechanisms. People right. can just look up what kind of patents Bill Gates likes. Why is Bill Gates doing patents about putting chips in you that can help control your body? You know, maybe that's not to help you. That's what he's really up to.
No.
And so there's no question. He is the centerpiece of defeating the Matrix.
Yeah.
And that's why he's become the focal point of attention and so much harassment. Because it's extraordinary in that at the hearing, even the government officials admitted in 20 years, tens of millions of food products, tens of thousands of Americans, not one person or government agency has ever filed a single complaint against Amos Miller's food, ever. He has one of the best safety records in the history of man, and yet he is their primary target to shut down. That tells you his case is about much more than what they claim it's about.
Yeah, it's funny. I grew up outside of Philadelphia, so we would go up to Lancaster a lot and go to their markets there. They have lots of farmers markets, the best food, the best everything. And I always envied their lifestyle because more now than ever. I went up and I did an event in Batavia, in New York, and we drove up there. And we went all through on our way back, all through Pennsylvania, all through the Amish country. And it was it's so beautiful. And the saddest part is that there's such their lifestyle is so much more appealing to me now than ever, because I see all of this stuff. And the other thing is that there is now, I see it happening, a war on homeschooling, on the idea of homeschooling. Now that more and more people see what's going on in our institutions, through our schools, through the teaching colleges to our schools, the whole thing, more and more parents are starting to say, you know what, forget the two income family. I'm going to raise my kids and educate them. And it's taking on a life of its own, which also the Amish do. And then they don't use the smartphones. They don't have all the trash. Like, that's how they're tracking and tracing us. I just see from all sides such an obvious reason to change the laws because of them, because that's the extreme. That's the most dangerous to these people that want full track and trace surveillance control, is how they're doing it, living basically off the grid. And it's so important that people, I think, understand that this is really, if they get them, then they have new precedent to go after anyone for anything.
That's exactly right. It's about complete control. That's what, you know, the James Corbett and others talked about Bill Gates. If you look at what Bill, he did a four-part documentary on Bill Gates and said, you dig in, there's a common theme in everything Gates does and his political allies do, and it's control, control, control. And there's a reason the World Economic Forum is as obsessed about food as it is about anything. Right. It's because that is the beginning foundation of control. If our food is controlled, if we don't get to decide what goes into our own body or our children's bodies, then we no longer have child rearing control. We no longer have bodily autonomy. We no longer have privacy. But more importantly, if you don't own your body, what do you own? You own nothing. And if you're dependent on the government for your food supply, then you're no longer free. Yeah. And that's what Amos Miller presents, is he's an exit ramp from the big pharma, big tech, big food controlled system that allows people a true red pill from the matrix.
Yeah.
That is the foundation to that escape by having an independent food supply that is also making them healthier and happier at the same time.
And not and having to depend on the big brother and the government and all of that. I mean, but to me, that this is much bigger. This to me is, because I call him the globalist billionaire oligarchy that run America. He's a threat to all of them. Because because a lot of people that see what's going on and see this, they are thinking like, well, what happens down, you know, at the border, whatever's happening in the country? What if I do have to go on my own? Well, the Amish have the you know, kind of playbook, the directions on how to live that way better than anyone. And they've sustained it all this time through technology advancing. And I think that that's also a problem. I wanted to, it's so great to have you because you know so much stuff that people really need to understand. Another thing that I wanted to get you to kind of comment on is that biometric surveillance and everything that's happening now. People don't realize there's a bunch of things coming up. They were hidden in the infrastructure deal and other things, including people willingly getting retina eye scans to get on planes early, giving their handprints to pay at Amazon and Whole Foods, all of this stuff. But this is also bigger part of even talking about what's going on with the Amish. A bigger part of all of this is that I think a lot of people are walking willingly into the matrix, into the full what Bill Gates and all of his World Economic Forum friends seem to really want, which is a full biometric data, Internet of Body, Internet of Things. And I don't see anyone stopping it. Is there any legislation you know of or anyone that is out there kind of warning that, you know, we're going into 1984 Big Brother territory for real and people are willingly participating? And I don't think they've fully realized that's what they're doing. So is anyone doing anything against that, since you have your finger on the pulse of everyone that's trying to fight to save America?
The two biggest leaders on this are the two people who have spoken about Amos Miller's case more than any other public representative. And that's House Representative Congressman Thomas Massie from Covington, Kentucky, a place I know a little bit about because I had some clients from there. And the other one is Robert Kennedy. And it's not a coincidence that the two people talking about the big food problem, talking about the big pharma problem, talking about the surveillance state problem, talking about big tech censorship problems, talking about media propaganda problems. The two most prominent people in the last 4 years to do so is Congressman Massie and Robert Kennedy. It's not a coincidence. Those two are saying, pay attention to the Amos Miller case, support Amos Miller, defend Amos Miller, because they understand how it very much is the tip of the spear. Right. And Thomas Massie, to his credit, has proposed the Prime Act, which would restore food freedom in America, and is trying to get it through the House of Representatives. And he's got Democrats that have co-signed. Why every Republican should have co-signed onto it. It shows you how co-opted they are by big food that they haven't been.
Right.
And the fact that no Pennsylvania representative will, every single one of them is too scared of the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture to speak out on this issue. I mean, this Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture has presided over the biggest decline in the number of dairy farmers in the state of Pennsylvania in the history of the state. They're losing 1/10 of dairy farmers every 2 years.
Do we know why? Do we know why? That has to be some kind of follow the money. Who's pulling the strings? That has to be above them. There's no way that this sounds like, you know, everyone says about the George Soros DAs. There has to be somebody above them that's benefiting. Maybe it is the Gates Foundation, but that doesn't sound like that would be an objective opinion of a random, you know, official in our agriculture.
I mean, what they're supposed to be there is protecting Pennsylvania dairy farmers, and instead they're running them out of business.
Right.
And what the Pennsylvania legislature looked at when they did a study and commissioned it, they found three common factors: the cost of regulation, that the regulatory cost continues to go up and up and up,
right,
and makes it less and less economically competitive for small dairy farmers to operate because of all the permits, the licenses, the inspections, all the things they require, all the additions they've done. And these are all bureaucrats who have never been right. farmers in their lives, telling farmers how to farm, telling, you know, a fifth generation farmer how to farm. That's how insane this is. Some bureaucrat with a marketing degree or social studies degree from Penn
exactly.
State.
Exactly.
The second thing that's happening is, and this has been documented by Sally at the Weston A. Price Foundation. She testified to this in court in Amos Miller's proceedings, that the best way for dairy farmers to get economically competitive is to get away from pasteurized milk. That pasteurized milk doesn't taste as good, and there's more and more studies showing it has a range of health effects. And ordinary people have been realizing this for about 40 years. And that's why they're drinking less and less and less and less pasteurized milk.
Right.
Well, you know what people love when they get exposed to it? Fresh milk. I mean, they call it raw milk. Right. It's really just unpasteurized milk. It's real milk. It's traditional milk. I remember the first time I drank it. I represented the Stuvey family out in California of Altadena Dairy Farming.
Yeah.
And they introduced me. They were big champions of raw milk. The state ran them out of business back in the 1990s, because they were champions of raw milk. Now the state recognizes they're right. California has more raw milk producers than anybody in the country now, because it turned out the state realized they were completely wrong about it. But thanks to the advocacy of the Stubbies. But the first time I drank it, I was like, this is amazing. And Amos Miller's fresh milk is the best milk I've ever had. It's one of my favorite products all the time. And I don't like pasteurized milk. I don't like that leftover taste you get in your mouth.
Yeah.
Fresh milk is totally, it's like, oh, this is what grandma was talking about.
Right.
You know, wow. That what milk was great on why you start your day with milk.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the second thing, but they interpret a raw milk permit in Pennsylvania to prohibit you from making 99% of raw milk products. You can only make some fluid raw milk and a few hard cheeses. You can't make most cheeses. You can't make butter.
This
you can't
insane.
Make cream.
It's just totally insane. I mean, and we are at a point where we are tolerating so much insanity. First of all, it all sounds totally unconstitutional, but you know, as well as anyone else, a lot of people out there don't have the money to fight the system. You know, it's funny when you're talking about what's going on with the farmers, it sounds like I happen to think that 2008 was a consolidation of the bigger banks to get rid of the small ones. Rob happened to have been a banker and had a bank that was too small to save. But the reason that a lot of those banks went under is the same thing you're saying about farms, is the regulations, they couldn't afford to keep up. They kept, you know, doing inspections and changing the rules, and you'd have to keep up, and it was impossible for smaller banks. So suddenly there were no small banks left, and it was just a consolidation. It sounds like, and we know about the farming with Bill Gates. We also know about the Chinese Communist Party buying all the farmland, that they're consolidating farming too. That's just, you know, it's sad that they're using him as an example, but it's good, because everything that you're saying about him makes him a formidable opponent that could probably, having the right people like you on the side, actually, you know, have a win in this and stop this insanity. Where do you go now from here? What happened in court so far? We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
So the court pulled back on the scope of the injunction, but still left in a critical part of it. He still is prohibiting, he's no longer prohibiting Amos Miller from producing, distributing, processing, purchasing for himself, distributing whatever he wants to his family, giving it away. All of that he took out of the injunction, but he left in the injunction that Amos Miller is not allowed to market and sell any raw milk product. And the problem with that, even though the court itself acknowledged there was no basis to conclude any safety concern of any kind. In fact, the court recognized the opposite. There were hundreds of people who filed sworn statements under penalty of perjury, four people who testified right live during the hearing and to their own expense in being able to do so, subjecting themselves to cross-examination from the state and anything else, that said they absolutely had to have his raw milk products for their health, for their religious expression, for their political affiliations, all constitutionally protected activities. The judge said, I recognize these are sincere, good faith people about how good this is. And instead, he just didn't want to challenge the state. He didn't have the courage, the judicial courage, to challenge the state and to say, no, state, you don't have this power. This power is not given to you by law. The Constitution of Pennsylvania doesn't give it to you. The Constitution of the United States doesn't give it to you. Didn't have the courage to stand up to them. And consequently left in that part of the injunction that the state's goal is to bankrupt Amos Miller.
Exactly.
So that he doesn't have the economic means to stay alive and long enough for us to be able to fully litigate this in all forms and get relief and remedy for him ultimately, which is our objective.
Yeah, and that's always what they do, lawfare. They try to bankrupt you so you can't keep going. And it doesn't make any sense. I hope people out there watching this in every state are aware and looking around, because this is this case, you know, a lot of people have compassion and like the Amish. It's amazing to most people that have lived in and grown into the modern technological world. You look at them and you think, like, was all of this worth it? I always say that about farming when they're trying to put all technology in it. I'm like, look, they know how to do it. They've been doing it for thousands of years. Really, all because technology exists doesn't mean we should have to use it. but that's a great case. Now, the last thing, thank you so much for being here. The last thing I want to ask you, because I see a lot of things that are going on, especially with what's going on at the border. A lot of people don't know that Cass Sunstein, who's a hero among the Harvard law folk, he is writing a lot of the legislation for the border that people are seeing that's going through. And I saw when I was reading up on what he's doing, and most people don't even know he's there, that a lot of what they're putting in for the border, they want to make sure that it can never be undone. So it appears that what they're trying to do with that, and maybe some other things, but it's certainly with illegal immigration and asylum and all of that, they're trying to make it that it doesn't matter who comes in as president, that they can't be reversed. Let's say that this regime no longer is in power in 2025. Is the things that they're doing in what I call the controlled demolition of America, are they reversible on executive order or in any other way? That, because I think people that don't really fully understand think that none of this is going to be able to be undone, a lot of the damaging things. So what is that? Is it possible when a new administration comes in to undo some of this damage?
Some of it, yes, but not all of it. And that's why it's critical that we keep Amos Miller afloat while this is going on.
Right.
There are three different places people can go to support him. He still has products other than raw milk products that you can legally purchase. Other Amish farmers are coming to his defense and making their products available through him. That's at AmosMillerOrganicFarm.com. There's some fake sites out there that claim to be him. So make sure to go to the right one, Amos Miller Organic Farm. There's a Give, Send, Go that's helping to continually fundraise to keep him economically afloat.
Right.
If people want to just give anonymously or give that way, just look up Give, Send, Go, Amos Miller. It will come up.
Great.
And then the legal defense is being impartially paid for by Free America Law Center.
Great.
And my firm is put all our effort into it. And even if we don't anticipate getting reimbursed most of the cost, it's just to make sure we don't go bankrupt ourselves while we're doing
it. I know, I get it.
And yeah. That people can go to freeamericalawcenter.com, just Free America Law Center. Also, if they just want information, we're going to be putting all the information about Amos's case there. Right. court pleadings, links to other documents, links to other law reviews and studies and scholastic reviews. Also, it's a place people could share a link if people want to say, what's the case about? Just go to this site and it'll tell you what the whole case is about. So that's going to be available because you're correct. Some of this, if we don't fix and win now, will be irreversible.
Right.
Because the precedent set by the Pennsylvania courts are something that are not subject to being set aside by even a new president of the United States.
Right. That's why we have to keep fighting. That's why you're so important in this battle. I know how much you have helped so many people, and you're on. We don't have enough time to go through all of it, but you've been helping on the COVID front, on the vaccine front, on the overreach of government front. And this case is so important. Also, if anyone out there, no matter what state you're in, if you do have farmers, support farmers, all of that, they should be aware of what's going on here, because this is, you know, it's way bigger than just about an Amish farmer in Pennsylvania. It's about creating a precedent, like you're saying, for the future of our country in many ways on a massive scale. Like the Thomas Jefferson thing you said about how the farmers were key. They really are. So I want to just ask you to end on any last words. You know, people, I keep saying to people, all the attacks on Trump are really about us. They're really about demoralizing the American people, making us feel like, which we feel, that the government not only is not considering us, this idea of power to the people or consent of the governed, all of that is completely gone. I mean, it seems to that some extent, but people are demoralized. And I think from you watching from all sides, what do you have to say to people? Because I don't want people to give up. And I feel like they want us, especially the World Economic Forum types, the parent company of the planet, they want us to all say, okay, enough. You've given us all this chaos. This is all the border, the wars. Fine, do whatever you want. Just leave us alone. And that is the worst thing I think that can happen. So any thoughts on going forward and what people should be actually doing and thinking about in the next few months as we walk into this 2024 election?
If food freedom is foundational to all forms of freedom, and if you want an example of the ways that you can resist effectively and protect that freedom, no better example than Amos Miller. He's just a farmer. That's it. That the easiest thing in the world for him to have done would have been to capitulate to the state and the federal government agencies and the big corporations. Say, okay, I won't make any product you tell me not to make. I'll put whatever drug, chemical, vaccine you want into the food. I'll make the food the corporatized way rather than the free-range, grass-fed way. I won't use the best animals for this. I'll use whatever animals the big companies tell me to use. I'll just be willing to be a laborer, an employee for the big corporate farmers and lend my own reputation to the benefit of corporate farming for my own financial self-enrichment at the expense of my values and the community. He's refused to do any of that. He's refused to ever capitulate. And he doesn't want to be in the news. It's the last thing in the world right. He wants. He doesn't want to be photographed. He doesn't get interviewed. When he went into court, the thing he loved about the court appearance was I told him he could sit in the back if he wanted. He didn't have to sit at the front table. And he was thrilled at that. He goes, can I do that next time? That is wonderful. That's right. Who Amos Miller is. Sweetheart right. of a human being. Guy who still answers. You know, they generally don't use phones, but they have an office phone for office right. use.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy who answers the phone at Amos Miller's Organic Farm. You call him, it'll probably be Amos picking up the phone saying, how are you? How you doing? How can I help you? That's right. Who he is. And he has maintained that patient, positive mindset.
Wow.
Despite all of the ease with which all you had to do was take the 30 pieces of silver and right. he would have been financially protected. He would have been personally protected. He wouldn't be at the risk of bankruptcy, losing a family farm that's in the fifth generation, losing the chance to give that to his next kids. He could have not done any of that. And instead, but he's like, his way is his grandfather went to jail for the right to teach their kids their way, their right. mechanism, their means. That the Amish have always been the most independent people on the planet at saying, here's our values, and we're going to stick with our values no matter what somebody says. Somebody knocks on the door, says, no, you got to go kill somebody overseas. They say, no, that's inconsistent with our belief. We can't do that. And if you have to jail us, we understand, but we can't sacrifice our beliefs. So yeah. If Amos can stay the course, we can stay the course.
Exactly. Exactly. And thank you so much for that. And that's the truth. You know, it is looking more and more like people are going to have to find alternatives and find ways to not be centralized, to not be controlled. And the fact that the Amish have stood their ground this long says a lot, not just about who they are and what they are, but also their faith and their ability to, they value their life so much that they're willing to do whatever it takes. And we should all feel that way. You know, what's on the ballot in my mind is freedom. And I think we can all agree that it's worth standing for. And you do it every single day. Robert Barnes, you're amazing. Can you tell my audience, since you have all kinds of stuff going on, where to find you? I'll put all of Amos's links below. Please do support him. His case is the case for all of us. If they go and do some stuff to him, you know, all bets are off for everyone. So where can they find you?
Oh, all of my individual content is up at vivabarneslaw.locals.com.
Great, great. I love you guys. And thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's been a true honor. And I will see you next time. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
It's that time of year again. People are getting sick. They're getting the flu. They're getting the cold. They're getting all different kinds of things. And I have always been very grateful for my friendship with Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Z. And though he's not with us anymore and I miss him every day, he has left behind the best remedy to me for anything that ails you, and that is Z-Stack from Dr. Zelenko. There's Z-Flu, Z-Stack, and Z-Kids. There's also many other products there. It's all about naturally boosting your immune health and fighting anything that comes your way. Dr. Zelenko was ahead of his time. He is out there fighting for us still to this day, and he's left behind the best gift. The gift is your health. So go to MelKDrZ.com, or you can go to my partner's page at themelkshow.com, click Dr. Z or Z-Stack. Better health for us all awaits. Thank you, Dr. Zelenko. Did you know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water, and the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today.